Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. This morning we have a number of visitors with us. We extend a very special welcome to you. Glad that of all the things you could be doing in Las Vegas, Nevada, that you are here worshiping God with us. We extend a special welcome. We also extend a welcome to those that are watching online. It's nice to see Barbara here today. Always good to see her. Sometimes she has to watch online, just not feeling good, but we talked yesterday on the phone and she was wanting to be here. Some of the people that watch us regularly is Joyce Croxon and Sherry Bolden. In fact, we've had them in our prayers lately. It was mentioned about Barbara. Barbara mentioned that her son-in-law had a stroke this weekend. Only 61 years old, seems to be doing okay. As of right now, no lingering effects as far as physical abilities, vision, anything like that, but he's being monitored by the doctor, and we'll keep her and her family in our prayers. Also, we have a number, as you know, many prayers have gone up on behalf of Tracy. He had his surgery, and the doctor kept him in the hospital for a couple of days for observation and monitoring some different levels in his body and so forth. It was mentioned Preston had his stent put in this past Friday. He's doing well here today, and again, many prayers went up on behalf of them. The Parkers are going to be leaving this afternoon, right, to go up. Elias's surgery had been rescheduled. When it was scheduled earlier, he was sick and they postponed it, but he'll be having his surgery this week up in Salt Lake. And so our prayers will be going with them. Have a few others that have turned in prayer requests. Crystal Lindo requesting prayers for her and her family, that there are some issues going on right now. Their oldest daughter, that they are having some custody issues with the biological father. And not agreeing to the custody agreement, and so that's very stressful, and we will offer prayers up on behalf of the Lindos at this time. Brother Mark Eubank is requesting prayers for his wife Nathani. She has glaucoma in both eyes and is going to be having laser surgery in one of them this coming week to reduce some of the pressure and swelling and obviously the pain for that. So we will keep her in our prayers. And mentioning Preston gave a note to me earlier today saying that he would like to take this time to thank everybody here for the prayers. It touched him, and he appreciated the prayers. He is already starting to feel better. He would also like to use this opportunity to identify with us here at South Valley. He has been worshiping with us for quite some time, and we passed his test. So he's officially identifying with us and placing his membership with us here at South Valley. Amen. He also says that we're all so blessed as Christians to go just about anywhere on the planet and have brothers and sisters that connect us by the bond of the blood of Christ. We're so thankful for that. Let's take a moment to go to God in prayer, and then we will get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. We don't want any of our iniquities to separate us from you and for you to hear our prayers. Dear God, first of all, we thank you for hearing us. We thank you for the avenue of prayer that we can pour our hearts out. Sometimes we can't even come up with the right words, but you know them. And we thank you for prayer. Dear God, a number of people were mentioned just recently and in this week's bulletin. We ask that you be with those. Continue to strengthen them physically. Be with us all physically to be able to serve you better. Dear God, we ask that you be with us spiritually. Be with those that are here today that chose to be here to worship you. Be with those that would like to have been here and physically could not. We pray that being with us online will be a close substitute to being here with their brothers and sisters. Dear God, we pray for those that need your helping hand. We pray for Elias's upcoming surgery, that it will be successful and help his quality of life. Dear God, we continue to ask to be with those that are recovering. We ask that you be with Dana Briggs's mom, who is recovering from a stroke. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings. We hope everything that we've done so far has been in accordance to your word, and everything that we continue to do is done in spirit and in truth. We pray through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, there's some words that we use that have multiple meanings. You know, somebody may come to you and say, oh, I need some advice. And sometimes people will tell you, well, just trust your gut. Go with your gut on something. And then somebody else might come to you almost accusing, don't you have any guts? Using the same word, but in a different context. Come on, show some guts. And then you might have trouble with your guts, you know, and you go to a doctor. You know, that's the medical term. You know, doc, I'm having trouble with my guts, you know. You go to a gutologist. But same thing, but just different context. And I would like for us to look at a phrase that we use a lot as a Christian, the world. We use that term. We see that word in Scripture a lot. And of course, just like we're talking about guts, we fall right back on how we interpret the Bible and context. We use that phrase, the world, an awful lot. One of the ways that we use it is the physical earth, you know, and its inhabitants, the things that were created by God, the plants, the animals, the mountains, you know, we talk about the world. And the fact that they're created by God, they give testimony. It gives testimony of the existence of God. That it's an obvious, without preaching Jesus at all, you can just open your eyes and look at the world in this context and know that there's a God. I'd like for us to look at a few scriptures that go along with this concept. The Bible starts out with this. Genesis 1, in the beginning. When's that? The beginning. I am so glad that God's word is written so simple for people like me. In the beginning, it's as simple as that. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The word world was not used in this passage, but that's what this is, an example of this physical existence. God created the world. God created the heavens and the earth. In Job, the book of Job in chapter 12, it says, "But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Here's an example of that created physical world that God created. It's His. In Psalm, and this was the passage of our scripture reading. Thanks, Jeff, for doing that. Psalms 90, verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." I should offer the invitation right now. There's the lesson. That's a lesson right there. That one verse. Anyone needs to come forward, come forward, we'll stand. That's a lesson. Now, that verse. You are God. In Romans 1:20, Paul is saying the same thing that was just said by Job in the book of Job. Paul says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." No one's preached God to me. They didn't have to. Take a look around at what God has made, and God is proclaimed. They are without excuse. In Acts 17:24, God, who made the world, Paul is preaching this in Athens. In the midst of people that had an idol for everything, had a god and a goddess for everything, and Paul is proclaiming the one true God. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. He was saying this to a culture of people that craftsmen made their temples. craftsmen and artisans formed their statues and their altars and the temples that they worshiped Zeus or Diana or Mars and all of that. But yet, Paul is preaching to them the one God who's over them all. In Hebrews 1, the Hebrew writer says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Those of you that come to Sunday morning Bible class, we've been studying the minor prophets. In time past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Explaining this physical creation that God has made. And a little bit farther in Hebrews, this is that chapter of faith, says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Case closed. Another concept that we use when we use that phrase, the world, are the people themselves. It's not the rocks, not the trees, although I've been told I was dumb as a box of rocks, but it's the people. A lot of times we talk about the world and we're referring to the people that dwell on earth, the people that dwell in the world. To sum it up, one, they were created by God. They are love. One of the messages from cover to cover in the Bible, those people that God created are loved by God. And they are offered the opportunity to be saved. The opportunity. Because God so loved them, he gave them an opportunity. In John 1, John the Baptizer was with some of his disciples, and in verse 29 it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's talking about the people. He's not talking about he takes away the sin of the trees and the sin of the mountains and the sin of the creeks and the rivers. He takes away the sin of the people in the world. Probably the verse, one of the most used passages in the entire Bible. People that don't even go to church anywhere have probably heard this verse. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world. He so loved the rocks and the trees. He so loved the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That verse, that passage, says so much. talks about God's love. It totally describes God's love. But it talks also about the opportunity that's been extended to us, that we have that opportunity to accept or not. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Us. Reconcile. We had sinned and had been separated from God because of that sin. Reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. The world in this case is not the physical makeup of the world, but us, the people. God is reconciling us through Jesus back to himself. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He wasn't condemning anything but the people. And the only people that were saved was Noah and his family. And we'll close up with this verse. The Apostle John would write in 1 John, the second chapter, he says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, for all of us. That sacrifice was made for everybody, not the chosen, 144,000, not somebody that was predestined, for anybody that accepts and obeys the will of God. Today we've covered the world according to the physical makeup that God created, and the people that dwell in the world. Next week, I want us to look at the world, the realm of Satan. We talk a lot about people that are out in the world. Well, we live in the world. We don't live in that world. I want us to look at the realm of Satan and our responsibility to the world. We will finish this up next week. If there's anybody, now's the invitation. If we never like to leave an opportunity when we assemble without offering an invitation to people, that if they have prayers that they need their brothers and sisters to pray for them, we are more than happy to go to God together with you and for you in prayer to our Heavenly Father. Also, you may have sin in your life. You may need to repent. I wouldn't suggest putting it on a list of things to do, I'll repent Monday, or I got some time open Thursday afternoon at 4. You know what? I'm a busy, busy person. I got 15 minutes at 4:07 next Thursday. I can repent. If you have to repent of sin, you're not guaranteed Thursday. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. In fact, you're not guaranteed 12 noon. repent now. If you've got sin in your life that's between you and God, by all means, repent right there in your seat between you and God. If it's a public sin that involves others, by all means, repent publicly. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. If you'd like to, like Preston did, identify with us. If you've looked at a few congregations and would like to identify and work with us, whatever your need, please come forward as we stand. Michael leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.